WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number three of the program here on Tuesday morning. And before we get into our South Coast Health Community Spotlight, we have a call on the VIP line. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. How are you doing?
Morning. It's Scott Pemberton, candidate for Ward 2. How are you doing today?
Yes, sir. Good, good. Thank you. I'm just calling. I just want to make an announcement for tonight. I just want to remind everyone that tonight we have the National Night Out. And that's being held at Eshley Park at 4 o'clock. So I want everyone to come on down. We got the New Bedford Police Department, Fire Department, EMS, and the Emergency Management Agency as well. We got music, activities for the kids. We got Richie from Coolix, so we have plenty of food down there. And I want to just give a big shout-out to the office of the District Attorney, Tom Quinn, Senator Mark Montigny, the Mayor's Office, Parks and Recs, and, of course, the committee members of the Neighborhood United. Without them, this won't be possible. So that's tonight, 4 o'clock, Eshley Park.
I forgot it was National Night Out. That's a big day. And, of course, part of the fun of getting to go out and see all of this is you get to sit up in some of the vehicles and take a picture. Is there something you want to sit in, Scott, and get a photo?
maybe just one of the fire trucks. But, you know, I just haven't done that since I was a little kid. I'm overdue for a picture of the fire truck.
When they came, so we used to do a National Night Out in my neighborhood, my last house in Wareham, and they would come and they would bring like the police car. And I said, can you take a picture of me in the back and make it look like I got arrested?
So that
was a picture I had them take. Everybody else wants to sit up front and look like they're driving. I'm like, make it look like I got arrested.
Arrested, yeah. I'm sure you'll play a phone call. Hey, what happened?
Well, the good thing is that anytime I want to try to like milk somebody for money, I can just send them that and be like, hey, can you help me out? Send me 50 bucks for bail.
Good idea.
So again, 4 o'clock, you said Eshley Park?
Eshley Park, yeah. You normally we have that going school. We kind of want to switch it up. You know, Renee Ledbetter from the NWCP, she's been a big advocate for this. She's actually like been the big footprint of all this. You know, she's done it in the past. She'll be having another one in October. But without her footprint, without her leading to, that has been a big help. So I want to thank, especially thanks to her as well.
Yeah, I love that. I love that even though we do this in August as like a national thing, there are a lot of different communities and neighborhoods that want to keep having these throughout the course of the year to make sure that everybody's aware of the public safety personnel that work and patrol and service their neighborhoods.
That's correct. You know, and like I said, this year we do a little bit different. Like I said, normally how they go to school, but, you know, Eshley Park has kind of been rebuilt over there, and it's a nice park. And, you know, figure just move it somewhere else and give another neighborhood another chance to enjoy it. That's your night out.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for the info.
No, thank you.
Have a great night.
Have a good day now. You too. Thanks.
And let's take one more call here before we've got to go to our South Coast Health Community Spotlight. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning. I'd like to remind people that there's an important meeting going on tonight at the Pulaski School. Mm-hmm. The Board of Health is looking at whether or not Parallel Products, also called South Coast Renewables, should be located in New Bedford. And the meeting is at 6:30.
And they're doing it's tonight, tomorrow, and Wednesday. I mean, tonight, Wednesday, and Thursday, right? 5, 6, 5th, 6th, and 7th? Yes.
Yeah, and then it's going to be on August 26th as well.
And the important thing to note, too, is if people can't make it, they can submit written comment, too, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Well,
and people need to know that New Bedford's only 24.1 square miles. Some of that is water. And we've got two Superfund sites. We've got a closed landfill. We've got the Parker Street dump. We've got Crapo Hill that's only 6,500 feet from this proposed site. I mean, what's the saturation point for New Bedford for trash?
Sure. Yeah. And so you'll be at the meeting tonight?
I'll definitely be there. I'll be there every night.
Well, can you call us each morning and let us know how it goes?
I'll try.
I would appreciate that. Thank
I'm
you so much.
I'm not good on the radio,
you're great on the radio. You're already better than I am. I'm gonna go the other room. You can take over the show.
Thank you so much for listening to me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
And I hope that they have a big turnout at that meeting so that everybody can have their voice heard. But again, if not, you can submit written comment. But again, three nights at the Pulaski School, tonight, tomorrow, and Thursday. So, okay, now it is time for our South Coast Health Community Spotlight, in which South Coast Health helps us shine that spotlight on local organizations doing great work on the South Coast. We are joined now by Rachel Rosendes, the Executive Director of Damien's Pantry in Wareham. Good morning, Rachel. How are you?
Good morning.
So tell us about Damien's Pantry and the work that you do there.
Well, I think we'll start with talking about our new location, which is at 242 Marion Road in Wareham, Mass. Now, we've moved from our old location on Cranberry Highway. Right now, we've done a lot of expansion projects to assure that we have as many people in the population that are in need of food and are able to receive it in a simple and dignified way. So our new pantry is really nice. You can swing by and check it out. It's like shopping in a regular grocery store, which is a really cool thing that we have going on that nobody else does.
I mean, and I think that probably matters to a lot of people because, you know, it's hard when you're food insecure to admit that because you think it's one of the basic necessities in life. You should be able to provide that for yourself. So there is, I think, in some degrees, some question of, you know, how dignified it is sometimes to go and get help in that regard. And it sounds like this here allows them to retain that dignity while still being able to say, I need a helping hand.
Yes. And, you know, people, everybody needs food no matter what. there's no way around it. So there's just times that people fall on hard times sometimes and they just need that little bit of help. Mm-hmm. And they might have specified diets. Their children might have specified diets. In order to have this type of grocery design, it enables them to be able to pick what they want to eat and what they can eat so that it helps us out too with the food waste to give to more people instead of sometimes people getting that can of tomato soup that goes around 10 times. You know, they're getting something tangible and viable that they can use, whether it be fresh produce or from our local providers or fresh meats. Those are the things that really matter, those nutritional value foods, and that shouldn't be neglected just because somebody might not financially be able to afford them.
Because I think people do have a tendency, they'll go to the supermarket, they'll have $50 in their bank account, and unfortunately, that's not, $50 doesn't get you the good, healthy stuff that you need. Mm-hmm. It gets you the cheap processed stuff that is going to make your life worse, actually, from eating it.
100%. So with us now, everybody who goes through there, we've been doing five locally sourced produces, thanks to Frogfoot Farms and other local farms. And then they've had additionally, they've been able to receive locally sourced meats from Copacup Farms and additional farmers throughout the area. So being able to receive that type of food instead of the boxed stuff is great. You know, the boxes and the cans are great fillers and they're great donation items and stuff like that, especially for those who might not have areas to be able to cook, so they only can eat those types of products. But it's still good to see if we can keep things as healthy as possible.
And there is, I mean, I mentioned the phrase food insecurity, and unfortunately that's something that we hear more and more about these days because there are people who are falling through the cracks. They might be able to, you know, they're paying their rent, they're able to take care of their kids, they're able to have clothes on their back and all that, but getting access to that food is the issue. And you mentioned even in some cases not having the means to prepare it. Mm-hmm. What type of folks do you see coming in that need this assistance?
To be honest, I see, you know, from newborns to elderly people that we're doing deliveries to because they're unable to even get into a vehicle or walk or do anything of that nature. We have veterans. We have fathers, single mothers. We have families coming in, elderly couples. I've definitely seen an uptick in the elderly couples. I think it's very hard with all the current rates and market prices and everything. And this is a good way that they're able to, you know, shift their finances a little bit without impacting them too much. And that's what we're there for. We're not there to decide on anything else or judge them on anything. We're just here to make sure that they're going to have food and what they need, so they can go to bed full.
And not everybody that comes to Damien's Pantry needs you to provide all of their groceries for them.
No, definitely not. Some people use it as fillers during the time of year where they might get laid off and things are tight. You know, we have a single dad with four children, and it helps during the months that he's laid off and he works construction and stuff. But he also comes back and volunteers, and he does a lot of volunteer work. And for us, I work there. I'm an employee. I have one other employee, Jen. She's awesome, but we are nothing without our employees, without our volunteers. We have anywhere from 90 to 120 volunteers every month to keep us operating. saying that each week we're servicing about 800 families right now. So these people work hard and they do a lot for us. And when people are able to utilize us and see the benefits of it and come back to help more people, that's what makes a community.
Well, I was going to say, Danny's been around for a long time, so you've got multiple generations of people who have benefited from the service that you offer.
Yes, I actually have grandchildren, children, and grandparents working that volunteer there together. Saturday mornings, Thursdays, you can find them. It's become a family thing for a lot of families, too, to be able to come and do. So even if, you know, you can do 3 hours a week or whatever with your family, or 2 hours a week, it's something to give back to the community, and it's something for your children to be able to grow on for the future.
I mean, I can tell you, there were times when I was younger that, you know, our meals came from Damien. So growing up in Wareham. So what are the qualifications for somebody to come and be able to get some of this food?
The only qualification is that you have to live within a 25-mile radius of us. We do have on our website, www.damiensfoodpantry.org, a list of those zip codes that are viable. As long as you're in that zip code, bring a piece of mail in, you fill out a simple form, and the first week, we'll give you a box to go home with to get you through the week. You can come back the following week and you'll receive your membership card. You're allowed from there to shop every 2 weeks to receive your food. And that's it. I mean, it's other than that, it's just every year you recertify yourself, you know, and say, yep, I'm still living in one of those area codes.
And that's the only qualification.
That's it.
And as you said, no judgment for anything.
No.
You know, if you are coming in, you don't have to worry about if there's something that you don't want to disclose or anything like that.
Nope.
And now, how long has Damien's been around?
We opened in 1992. So we're coming up on another anniversary soon, which I think is great. I love being part of monumental parts of things. I've been there for actually a year this week.
Oh,
well, so you're catching
happy anniversary.
Thank you. You're catching me on my anniversary. So, and this has truly been one of the most rewarding jobs I've ever had. I, you know, hope this is my forever home. So I really put everything into it.
So tell us a little bit more about this new location and what a difference it's going to make from where you were before.
Well, data-wise, we're already tripled what we're serving in population since we've moved over there. But we've also been able to generate quite a bit of community involvement over the last year, which has been wonderful. So that we're starting to build a network of local people, local organizations that are able to meet with us and volunteer with us, donate with us, work on events with us. So with that being said, and looking ahead, we have, you know, the building we need to make sure we can sustain with that too. So we are venturing into fundraising this year for the first time. So September 7th, actually, we'll be having our first motorcycle run. It'll start at Damien's Place, and it will end at Redmond's Hall with a barbecue, live music, and fun. So you can actually grab tickets either through Facebook or on our website as well.
And just give us the address of the new location again.
242 Marion Road, Wareham, Mass.
So, and where is that in relation to if people are looking for a landmark?
We are just a little bit past Shaw's,
okay.
On the opposite side of the streets. So very easy to get to right on, you know, Marion Road is Route 6, and you can come right in either highway or by Route 6 where it's a little bit easier for driving.
And again, people can come there if they are interested in utilizing the services, but also if they're interested in volunteering.
Absolutely.
And
yes.
Makes great. I can tell you, I knew a lot of kids that in high school that that's how they got like their honor society hours. Or sometimes if the kids, you know, maybe got themselves in a little bit of trouble, how they did their community service hours. But
yeah,
it was a place where they got to go and experience that and learn and like you said, give back to the community.
And it's been great. We're actually starting a high school program right now that'll end with a scholarship to a senior every year for whatever student does the most hours while they're in high school volunteering for us. We're not going to gauge it on anything else but their volunteer hours, the amount of hours they wanted to give up to be able to better the community. So we're looking to partner up with a bunch of different high schools in the area and get the ball moving for this to happen and have clubs come in and others come in as well. We've already done it with a few soccer teams out at Old Rochester and hockey team, and it's had a great turnout.
And I think that's important because that gives young people who are on the verge of becoming adults themselves an idea of like some of the struggles that they could face mm-hmm. as adults. And it kind of prepares you for oh, I never would have thought that there might be a time when I have to choose between paying my rent and paying my medications and actually eating good, healthy food.
It's true. And, you know, sometimes they might know people and friends that might be falling on hard times. And for them to be able to turn around and say, hey, you know, tell your mom that there's a place they can go. It's, you know, really nice. And it comes firsthand is a huge help. That just having that happen is a huge help for some people who just don't know what programs are out there and resources are out there. We're trying our hardest to get into everything so people are aware of us. And I think we're doing a good job with the triple numbers, but there's always more people right now.
And you're also sneaking in some nutritional education for those teenagers that shove their faces full of french fries and pizza.
That is true. We have our cooking class series too going on right now that we partnered with Florida Deaconess Home, and we're doing with the youth residents over there. So we've been doing, it's a three-part series. We're doing breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So we just finished the breakfast part of it, and next week's going to actually be the lunch series, and they're going to learn how to utilize stuff within the pantry to make healthy choices on what they eat and simple recipes that they can do.
There you go. So again, what's the website for Damien's?
www.damiensfoodpantry.org.
But you've kind of expanded beyond the food pantry name. And
yeah, we're heading definitely in that direction.
Because it's more than just that now. It's all these other great services that people can utilize or can come down and help with.
Yes, and we also have our resource area too now that we've been utilizing. So any local nonprofits that might want to use our resource area on Thursdays or Saturdays when we're open, it's a great area to be able to target our population and be able to hand out your resources that might be able to be utilized for them.
Excellent. And that's the key, networking together, working together. That's how you're able to strengthen the community even more.
Yes, 100%.
All right, Rachel, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, that is your South Coast Health Community Spotlight. South Coast Health helps us shine the spotlight on organizations doing great work across the South Coast, and we usually have those for you here on Tuesday mornings. All right, I got to take a break here. When we come back, we'll get the news and then more with you, 508-996-0500. Stay tuned.
A new probe into Russia and the 2016 elections, potential flooding in the southeast, and some changes coming to Social Security payments.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Another official in the Biden administration scheduled to testify today in the GOP probe of the ex-president's mental fitness in office. Bruce Reed, the former deputy chief of staff for policy, previously agreed to do a closed-door interview, but it's unknown if he will plead the fifth and not answer questions. The probe has been focused on Biden's mental decline and use of an auto pen. Republicans say the auto pen use may make some of Biden's pardons void. The Department of Justice convening a grand jury in the Russia election probe.
Fox News says Attorney General Pam Bondi has signed off on the move. It comes after Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard released new documents she said proves former Obama officials tried to sabotage President Trump in the 2016 election. Gabbard says the officials acting on the direction of the former president suppressed evidence that showed there was no collusion between President Trump and Russia. I'm Brian Shook.
Tourists from certain countries seeking a visa to enter the U.S. could have to pay up to a $15,000 bond. That's according to multiple reports citing a notice sent to State Department employees yesterday. Under the program, visa applicants from countries with high overstay rates would be required to pay $5,000, $10,000, or $15,000. The NYPD expanding a pilot program designed to improve the quality of life for New Yorkers. Here's Scott Pringle.
The pilot program launched in April in a handful of places and then expanded earlier last month to Manhattan and the Bronx, and now quality of life teams are being formed for all of Brooklyn. Police Commissioner Jessica Tisch says they'll be addressing things like noise complaints, illegal mopeds, abandoned vehicles, and outdoor drug use.
This isn't broken windows. This isn't about cracking down to prevent crime. It's about restoring order and improving quality of life.
Officials say so far the pilots resulted in hundreds of abandoned vehicles and illegal mopeds towed away and a big reduction in response times to complaints.
A Florida deputy is being praised for his brave removal of an alligator from a swimming pool. Body camera footage shared by St. John's County Sheriff's Office captured the moment. Deputy Richardson initially attempted to capture the alligator with a net before resorting to use his own hands to pull the reptile out of the water. The incident occurred in St. Augustine, where residents discovered the gator enjoying a swim in their backyard pool. The alligator, who was described as super mad, was safely relocated to a nearby pond after being transported in the back of a patrol car. The number of people with COVID-19 in the U.S. is low, but it is increasing.
CDC data based on emergency department visits as of July 29th found that the virus is trending up in many mid-Atlantic, southeast, southern, and west coast states. Emergency department visits were highest for children younger than 4 years old, which experts said makes sense because many remain unvaccinated. Ever since 2020, COVID-19 has peaked twice a year with cases rising in the winter and then again in the summer as travel peaks. I'm Chris Caraggio.
Tennessee death row inmate Byron Black is set to be executed today, his execution moving forward despite his implanted defibrillator. His attorneys had asked that the defibrillator be deactivated. They claimed the device could go off during the lethal injection, causing their client to be shocked. Black was convicted of the 1988 shooting deaths of his girlfriend and her two daughters. Changes are coming for the Social Security beneficiaries who receive paper checks. The Social Security Administration announced that starting on September 30th, it would no longer issue paper checks. Now beneficiaries must opt in to have their benefit payments delivered electronically by direct deposit, or if they don't have a bank account, receive their benefit payments on a prepaid debit card. A Social Security spokesperson said the administration is proactively contacting to alert about the change.
WBSM Sports.
The Red Sox have won their sixth game in a row, beating the Royals 8-5 at Fenway last night. Those two teams back at it again tonight at 7:10.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Not a bad start to our Tuesday, but we're still looking out for a little bit of that smoke and haze in the atmosphere from the Canadian wildfires. Now, it's not as bad as yesterday, as cold front's going to come through and help mix up the air a little bit, but we're still keeping an eye out. And if you have, let's say, asthma, COPD, heart disease, anything that can make you a little more sensitive to the air quality, just make sure that you are staying tuned to the forecast. And of course, we'll have more throughout the day. But also in terms of temperatures, we're starting out in the low to mid 60s. Later in the afternoon, upper 70s for the coast, low to mid 80s inland. Maybe a stray shower as a cold front comes through. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
And that is Love Spreads by the Stone Roses. And one place where love spreads is at Brack's. Brack's Grill and Tap in Brockton and Taunton. Brack's Tavern in Middleborough. Why do I say that? Well, because they're always having great fundraiser events to help spread the love, to help raise money for different organizations and folks that are doing good things in our area. And tomorrow, Brack's Tavern in Middleborough all day long is going to be having a special day for Care South Coast. So all day long, when you eat at Brack's Tavern, it's going to make a donation to Care South Coast. 20% of your meal will go to Care South Coast. And that's on dine-in, takeout, gift cards, or delivery. And whether you get food or drink or whatever it may be, 20% of it all goes to care of South Coast. That's the kind of stuff they do all the time at Brack's. But if you want to go and check out some of the food at Brack's Grill and Tap in Taunton, well, they put out their weekly menu, and it includes, if you've never tried Wagyu beef, here's your chance, Wagyu sliders, 3 mini Wagyu beef burgers topped with American cheese, sautéed onions, and their special burger sauce for just $12.99. Plus, they have all kinds of great drink specials and so much more. And what's great about Brack's is you can get good quality comfort food at an affordable price so you can take the whole family out. So stop by and check them out. Brack's Grill and Tap in Taunton and Brockton, Brack's Tavern in Middleborough, Brack's Cafe in Newport, and of course online at BracksGrillAndTap.com. Also, if you're in the mood for some chicken today, well, Raising Cane's is open in Fall River today. The long-awaited Raising Cane's is opening. It's next to the Denny's there. What's that? Is that William S. Canning Boulevard? I think so. I don't know all the streets and stuff in Fall River. But the Raising Cane's is now open today. I just saw on Channel 12 there's a line of people already waiting because I guess they do some giveaways and stuff. But, hey, listen, if you've never had Raising Cane's, go check it out. I know they have one, in Seekonk now? So maybe, or Swansea or Somerset, I forget where it is. But maybe you've gone to that one and tried it already. I tried it in Marlborough. You hear the Cardi's guys telling you about Terracon and their commercial. That's where I had it for the first time, was Terracon, I think either last year or the year before. And it was good, but it was, you know, I'm not going to go wait in line for it. I'm not going to go wait in line early in the morning or overnight for it, but, you know, it was good. Just, it's chicken fingers. But the cane sauce is really good that you dip it in. The cane sauce, it's very good. But check it out. It comes with, I forget what I got for the side. I don't think it was fries. I think it was something else. But then maybe it was fries. But then it also comes with a big slice of grilled Texas toast. The nice thick toast there. So if that's your thing, I think it's garlic toast. If that's your thing, if you're into chicken fingers and you've never tried Raising Cane's, today's your chance to try it. 508-996-0500 if you want to call in and chime in here in the time that we have left. Also, app chat and open line voicemails in the WBSM app. Barry's article yesterday got a lot of attention online about Governor Healey not showing up at the Feast of the Blessed Sacrament. We talked about that a little bit with Council President Burgo yesterday. And he said that even though, you know, she hasn't been to the feast and she was campaigning for governor, he feels like the city has a good relationship with the governor and that she doesn't snub us just because she didn't come to the event, that she doesn't snub us because she's been to many other things in the area in recent weeks and months. So I don't know. I mean, maybe that whole thing just isn't her vibe. I mean, I think when you become a politician, especially the governor of a state, you know, you kind of have an obligation to show up at some of these signature events. Like, does she go to the Big E? Does she go take part in that, or does she not do that either? You know, if she's not doing a lot of other similar events, then I could kind of understand it. But I think that this is got to be, you know, one of the premier events in the country, let alone in the state. And it's good visibility and good public relations, especially in an area where, you know, the Republican candidates are already hitting it hard. How many times have you heard Brian Shortsleeve or Mike Keneally here on the station already? So the Republicans are hitting this area hard, and we know that there were a number of communities down here that had strong numbers for Donald Trump. You think you'd want to be down here talking to people. You know, it's one thing if you come for a ribbon cutting or you come for whatever, you know, special announcement they're making on the waterfront or any of those things where you talk to the local officials and you talk to the press, but this is the chance to walk around and talk to the people. also, I mean, maybe she knows she's going to hear it from people and didn't want to have to face that. I don't know. But it's not an unreasonable request to try to find time in the 4 days of the feast for you to, you know, it's one thing if you can't go on day one. It's a Thursday. It can be tough. You know, I think a lot of people can't make it on Thursday. And even Friday could be difficult, but come on, Saturday and Sunday? Can't be part of the parade? Which many people, including the mayor, have mentioned that they think it's the biggest turnout they've ever had for the parade. So I think that would have been a prime opportunity for the governor to just, you know, just come march in the parade, go have a cup of Madeira wine, go home. But at least you would have shown up, and that would have made people feel a little bit better about it. And then there's a lot of people that are commenting that that they just don't care. And they don't care if she came one way or another. I mean, there's people who are like, good, I'm glad she didn't come. I don't like her. But there were a lot of people that were of the opinion of, it doesn't matter to me if a politician shows up to the feast. What difference does that make? And in the end, it really doesn't. Like, nobody was going to vote for Maura Healey and said, you know what, but she didn't show up to the feast, so forget it. And nobody who opposed Maura Healey was going to have their mind changed because she showed up at the feast. So while I agree with Barry's sentiment that you kind of should have been there, it's become kind of a tradition here. We've set the precedent with previous governors that they come. As I said to Council President Burgo yesterday, maybe Governor Baker came every year because he just liked it. Maybe he just liked going to the event. He seems like the kind of guy that likes to go out and have fun, listen to live music. He's showing up at gigs for Ken Pittman's band, Living on a Bad Name. I think he just likes to get out and, you know, maybe dance, probably awkwardly, and maybe have a couple of drinks and relax. And maybe Maura Healey doesn't want to do that. I mean, I don't think it really matters, but I think it also is a small ask of people to have you show up. Let's see. I got to take a break. Let me take a break here, and then we'll get right to this call. We'll be back in a few moments. And welcome back in, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning. You know, with this mayor, Governor Healey, skipping the chance to come down here to meet people or to be present, whatever. It does not bother me, but I can kind of see why it might bother other people. You know, she kind of shrugs a shoulder at it, like, she's too good to be down here. Maybe she's just too busy. But I think that the underlying idea of it is she's got this vote in the bag down here. Like, there's a strong democratic socialist contingent down here, you know, pretty solid, you know. And you've said it yourself, Trump's not going to win. The conservatives aren't going to win down here. People, you know, why bother voting for him?
I do think they're making a stronger showing each time out. So I think that's going to cause concern for her.
Right. They have to because there is such a strong Democrat socialist contingent down here. I would like to see, you know, there's nothing wrong with a little bit of competition. And I think that now, especially, it's time to look outside of the box for solutions for things. You figure you've got Democrat socialists have been creeping up, and Democrats in general have been running this state for so long. You know, it's a uniparty state. So at what point are those Democrats responsible for the problems that right now they say they're trying to fix?
Well, I mean, I think that goes that kind of goes for anybody in government. But I think the bigger problem is, you know, why can't they get quality enough candidates to be able to topple those Democrats? Why can't they get somebody that can appeal to some of those Democrat voters who say, yeah, but you are the ones that got us into this mess?
Right. I think that the media plays a big part in it, and I would say WBSM, but I think WBSM listeners are smart enough to be able to parse it out and make their own decisions.
Well, because I don't think that the Democrat stronghold here is necessarily because the people who vote for them agree with everything that they do and everything that they want to do. I think it's more just a lot of voter apathy. So then that's what turns out to be the stronger contingent out of the two. But I think right. If you get somebody that can energize folks, that will make all the difference.
Right. If somebody comes in, and I've said it just kind of jokingly, but if somebody comes in as a candidate and said, you know, and goes the extreme one way or the other, like, I'm going to slash this, I'm going to slash that, and it really affects people in the pocketbook, then they're going to come out and vote.
I mean, look at how many apathetic voters previously that didn't care to vote came out and voted because Donald Trump energized them. So if you get somebody that does the same thing, you know, maybe you could have a Republican governor. Well, I mean, and I think it is easier to have a Republican governor in Massachusetts. We've voted for them before, and they have to get Democrat votes in order to win.
Right. That's the tough part about it. I would say, and I don't know, maybe you can view this the way I'm, you know, with an open mind, but you've got the pendulum, right? You've got one side of the pendulum, you've got the other side of the pendulum. In my mind, I'm thinking that the Democratic side has shifted so far to that extreme that even if the Republican, you know, set the pendulum straight dab, you know, flat, whatever, in the center, that's still not meeting the Democratic Socialists halfway. So the Republicans have to work so much harder to even appease those potential Democratic voters that might be able to.
But you also have to understand that the Republican Party on the whole from a national level has made, you know, more liberal voters feel like that they can't support anything that they stand for either.
Right. Well, I think that's what I said, the media earlier on. I think the media plays a big part in that.
Well, I think what Republicans have said and done play a big part of that.
Yeah. The media, you know, the language that the media uses is a very powerful thing because it can guide opinions. It can guide votes depending on the language used.
And, yeah, I think people are smarter than you give them credit for.
I don't know. The media can be pretty persuasive, too.
I think it's just a convenient excuse for when your team loses. You need somebody to blame it on, so the media makes a convenient excuse.
Maybe. The media certainly wasn't Trump's friend. He still won. So that shows that people were intelligent enough.
Yeah, but you know what? You might say they weren't his friend, but they gave him a lot of airtime. They gave him a lot of coverage, even if it was negative. They gave him a lot of coverage, and that negative coverage from places like CNN won him a lot of votes.
That's true, because people were smart enough to see through it. Yeah, absolutely.
They weren't smart enough to see through Donald Trump, but they might have saw through the media coverage, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right, you got 5 minutes left. Take another caller, and I'll hope you have a good day.
You too. All right, I got to get a final break in. We'll do that. We'll come back and wrap things up, and then we'll turn it over to Chris McCarthy in South Coast Now. And welcome back in. We're going to wrap things up and turn it over.